WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a short week of football here, and I'm going to be talking to my next guest about that. But a long week for crab cakes. I'm not going to Miami this week. I will be in Chicago next week. We're going to be doing some things on behalf of the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday, and then on Friday, we're going to be at a Nick's Grandstand Grill, and then with our mayor, Brandon Scott, next Wednesday at Coco's in Lauraville. This guy, there's a little bit about crab cakes. There's a little bit about being a Terp. He a Terp. And, of course, lights out for many years and has been doing something in Maryland that I'm aware of that I sort of, it comes and goes, and he comes in and does some media. It's been a long time, going on 2 decades now. Sean Merriman has been doing things for the community, in the community, and his time as a Terp. And it's always good to visit with you. A lot of times I see you at Super Bowls and doing media stuff, doing Terp stuff and whatnot, but nice that Zoom can bring us together here and talk a little Lamar and talk a little Terps and talk about doing something good in the community, because times are tough right now, Sean.
No, absolutely. I got my 19th annual Win a Coat Drive coming up this Thursday at the University of Maryland, doing the University of Maryland basketball game starting at 5 to 7. So if you guys can drop off any used coats that you have in your closet, I'm sure you guys got plenty of coats, stuff back there.
I'm looking at them. I broadcast from my bedroom. I got a closet here. I'm looking at them.
You know, but tons. And you know what? We'll be doing you a favor, but you'll be helping out a lot of people if you can drop off some coats there during the Maryland basketball game this Thursday over there. So at the Xfinity Center, starting at 5 p.m. But I'll be there earlier. So if you guys just want to swing by there, drop it off, and help out a bunch of people. This is my 19th annual. I can't believe it. I actually, you know, last year, not because we didn't have it because of COVID, but the year before, I remember seeing some kids who I very first started out, and now they have kids now. So it's been kind of a crazy ride, but we helped out a lot of people, over 30,000 coats now.
All right, so 19 years ago, something happened. This is where I get a little, you know, I go Oprah on you and say, all right, you know, I mean, give me the genesis of this and why now, because it probably does date back to times at the VU and Santa Fe and places that are long since gone as I get older. But being at College Park and being around, I mean, this is something that's clearly important to you.
No, 100%. We lost our home when I was a kid. We couldn't afford to pay the bills, and then they cut our lights and electricity off. My mom ended up lighting a candle because we didn't have any lights there, and we lost our home due to a fire. From that point, we went to go live in cars and shelters and try to stay in basements of other friends and family and people. But I just remember not having a coat and how cold it was outside in December. We had a blizzard, and I had on 2 long sleeve sweatshirts because we could not afford a coat. And so I said that day that I would never go without trying to help somebody not feel like this again. So my sophomore year at the University of Maryland, I started this coat drive thinking that I was only going to gather, a few hundred coats, making a splash for a few hundred people. And
does this happen with a coach, position coach, coach? Then like you go to the PR people, communicate, say maybe your teammates, and say, come on, boys, let's go. You know what I mean? And you're a kid. You're not a senior, right? You're just a guy there, right? I mean, you're a great player and a leader, but this is what leaders do when they're 19.
No, 100%. And I just had the mindset to know that I had a platform, right? I had a platform playing at the University of Maryland. We were playing great football then. You know, big games, ESPN and CBS and things like that. So I said, okay, what could I do? What could I do to make this a bigger thing and help more people out? And that's when I decided to have the code. I think I was just turned 18 then at the time. So, you know, this has been going on a long time. But then too, you know, my teammates who I play with, the current football players, former basketball players, soccer, field hockey, all these athletes over these past 19 years to come out and help are just as important as me doing it, because without them going out and doing the things that they've done, I wouldn't be able to keep doing what I'm doing now.
I'm up in Baltimore, and I'm not going to lie to you. I've always had sort of an outsider's relationship with the university down there. You know, you drive down, cold nights, games, Gary, 9 o'clock, Duke, North Carolina, Cole. I've been doing it my whole life. You know, I got a closet full of Terp stuff, but there is something about Baltimore that's a little removed from being there. And when I go there, the one thing, and Tom McMillan's coming up for my 30th anniversary this year. So, I mean, I got Terps everywhere in my life. I'm not one. I cried when they cut down the nets in Atlanta. I was at the semifinal game, came home and watched the other game here in Baltimore. Richie Coliseum, concerts back in the 80s. I mean, all of that. You're a part of it, and I sense when people come there and are a part of it. And I ask this question. I have a dear friend of mine celebrating my 10th anniversary of our friendship today. I saw it on Facebook, who's a big donor. He's a, family's done well. He's courtside a lot. He's the guy at the Bahamas when the Bahamas basketball happens. He's the guy at the Tidy Bowl when you're in the Tidy Bowl. He's the guy at the Orange Bowl when you're in the Orange Bowl. So he's that guy. And I said to him, the value of that and the Terps and where you are, give me the 20-year take on that, that you come back and do good things, but there is a real tight-knit community for people who are associated with the university that are for life. And literally, you're one of those guys 20 years later. It's a for life thing for a lot of you who are a part of it.
Well, I always, always say Terps for life. And that's my thing that I say on social media when I see, I live on the West Coast now. And so you might hear someone yelling Terp across the street. I mean, once you go to the University of Maryland, you're a Terp for life. And we look out for one another. And whether you play sports or not, because some of these people that's yelling my name across the street, they just went to University of Maryland around the same time before or after I did. So, it becomes a family. And so when I have an event and a charity event 20 years later, you're still seeing people that was there, 1 and 2 and 3 years in, they're still showing back up for this thing. And some of the times, the hardest parts is, some of the people who were very important to this charity event who's no longer with us. And that's, some of the things like, man, this has been going on a long time and life's changed. But like I said before, if it wasn't for the University of Maryland, the student athletes there, the people that have been coming out and supporting this thing for the past, 20 years, I wouldn't still be able to do it. We're still collecting 1,000+ coats. And, that's a big deal helping out, 1,000+ people.
Well, and there's still people that are cold, right? I mean, literally. And, right. While they're cold, we got to help them out. Sean Merriman here. Lights out the 11th, the Maryland game. Now, I don't want to take you off College Park or get you out of turtle mode here talking Big Ten basketball or football, but we got a pretty good little purple football team up here. And I know you've been watching. And yeah. Lamar is John Harbaugh called it revolution a couple years ago, Che Guevara or whatever. We're this far into this, and I was the bad guy at the press conference the other day that had the audacity to say, you ran 21 times. That's probably not the prescription to keep quarterbacks healthy, because guys like you were there tackling quarterbacks like him. And when you caught him, you hit him. And when you hit him, sometimes bad things happen. You played the game at this level. This is a completely different thing we're trying to do here with the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. But, look at it. It's fitting what Lamar Jackson is capable of doing. If he wasn't, it's not like, he doesn't, he can't throw a check down route. He go through his progression and decides to take off and run it. This offense is built around him running the football, period. And what makes it harder, especially being a former defensive player, when you watch Lamar Jackson, is how do you stop it? Especially when he's starting to throw accurate. This year, I think we've probably seen him, forget the deep balls. He's always had a deep ball. But when he's starting to get guys on timing, crossing patterns and crossing routes and slants and out patterns, Lamar Jackson is unstoppable. He really is. We know what he can do with his legs. But what do you do as a defender when he started to throw an accurate football? And that's the question that we all have to answer.
Sean, I would just take exception to one little thing you say. It's built around him running. I would say it's built around the threat of him running. That, it shouldn't be built around him running. I mean, to me, he should be running 8 times a game, maybe 10, in the thought that that's the thing you do when the passing's not working. But this is what, they lost 3 running backs to start the season. They have 330-something running backs. They have not been able to get their fullback on the field with Nick Boyle. They lost their $150 million left tackle in Ronnie Stanley. The offensive line has been completely in flux, and the wide receivers have been injured. Bateman, Watkins now. I mean, they're 6-2. They're going to Miami. They're going to Chicago next week. I'll be out there eating deep dish pizza. I need that before Thanksgiving and a pumpkin pie. But I would just say where they are right now is catbird seeding. And you've seen this league a long time, and you had to deal with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and King of the Hill and Brett Favre and all of that, Roethlisberger when he was right. This is up for grabs. I mean, it's really, there's no great team, and there's no great team coming as far as I can tell.
No, I say that the AFC is completely wide open. right? I mean, they really are. You got some teams in the NFC that are dominant. The Arizona Cardinals, dominant. I think they're the best team in football. You know, Dallas Cowboys, other than this last game, I thought they looked really good. So you got some teams that look dominant, right? Now, AFC, if you look at it and look at what the Ravens doing, especially with that many injuries, you have to start talking about John Harbaugh being a possible coach of the year. If they keep winning football games as they are with that many injuries, and not injuries to guys where you don't have depth, I'm talking about your key players. Marcus Peters goes down with early on during the year. Your star running back goes down, which you looked coming into the season, making sure that Lamar Jackson don't have to run the ball 15, 20 plus times. You're looking for that because that's why you have Dobbins there. He gets hurt. Now you're still finding ways to win. So, give this team credit. I mean, they found ways to go out and get it done. And like I said before, if they continue to win and go out and do the things they're doing now, Harbaugh has to be up for Coach of the Year.
Sean Merriman's here. You can follow him out on Twitter. You can follow him right on down to College Park for the Lights Out event, 19th anniversary. This is on the 11th. Bring your coats down. Very simple. Watch the ball game. Leave peacefully and exit to watch the Ravens do what they're going to do down in Miami at Hard Rock. Homecoming for Lamar in Hollywood. And last time they put a show on down there, Dolphins where they are. Tell me about these Thursday games, bro. I mean, I've never played one, and I was asking tough questions. They played 70 minutes before Tucker hit the field goal to beat the Vikings, and we're watching him slog around. The sun goes down at 3:30 now, so it's pitch black out, and I'm thinking to myself, they got to play football in 96 hours, and Lamar just took on 21 times the traffic, and they played 70 minutes. A couple of the veteran guys, Jimmy Smith, Pernell McPhee, those guys didn't get any minutes, and I thought, okay, so they're going to be 20, 30, 40 snap guys against Miami. But I can't think that those guys roll onto the plane on Wednesday. They're not sore all the way to Miami this week.
I'll tell you this. It's fine until you get past your sixth and seventh and eighth year. Then your body takes forever to heal up. I remember playing in a Thursday night game my last year that I was in. We played the Dolphins, and I did not get healthy. Lie to you not. I did not get healthy until Thursday morning. I felt normal. Walking onto the field, waking up that morning where I finally said, you know what? I don't feel like I've had a game. But it took me those 3 or 4 days to get there to feel, now the game has changed. It's a little bit, but it's still football. You still go out there, you're playing 60, 70 plus snaps. So when you look at it like that way, it is very hard. It's easy. I think we remember when Thursday night games first launched, how many blowouts there were. Remember how bad football was in Thursday night games, because you just had certain teams just was not prepared to play on Thursday.
Well, installing a game plan. Forget the body, just being even mentally ready to play, after you've played hard, long Sunday, getting on planes, doing all that kind of stuff, going down, the climate's going to change when you get down there as well. Sean Merriman is here, and I guess for the league and watching it from the outside, having been a longtime player, I'm from Baltimore, bro. You know what I mean? I watch old Colts. We lost Tom Maddie here last week, and having that generation where there was no football here, what's it like being a Charger? I mean, I don't mean to be flippant, but I love San Diego. I mean, my aunt lived out by San Diego State, Oklahoma Boulevard, right off College Avenue. I ate 10 billion Rubio's tacos, OB, PB, gas lamp, all of that. Tony Gwynn, and it's a little spooky. There's no football there. There's not going to be. For all of you guys that you Weddle, but going back to Dan Fouts, to everybody, I grieve that. And to know what they did, I'm pissed as a fan a little bit.
Yeah, but when you're close to the situation like I was, you knew that was inevitable. You knew it was going to happen at some point in time. I believe that San Diego is one of the best places, if not the best place to live in the country. I argue about that all the time to anybody. I think that's still home for me. Always will be. On the business side of it, you understand that the opportunity was there in L.A. And it was not in San Diego where they could not stop what was going on and what was happening. So it was unfortunate, but as long as they keep winning games in LA, people are going to show up. I'm at every home game. So I see the tides turning. I see the Chargers jersey showing up. I see how loud they get. You're going to have some, Raiders fans out there. You're going to have some Rams fans. You're going to have some other teams fans, because LA is just a destination that people want to go and move to.
A few Raiders fans too in LA, just a couple.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of those, but they left out of there very unhappy. So that was a good thing too.
Brother, I appreciate you. I've always appreciated your visits over the years with me, my radio station, other compadres, and always a pleasure when you're doing something great for the community, coming back home, and being a Terp, as they say, right?
Always and forever. So I'll see you guys Thursday, against the Maryland basketball game, Lights On Foundation. Collecting coats, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come out, bring those old coats you got in your closet. You're going to help out a lot of people, and it's for a great cause.
Let's go beat up the Big Ten in basketball for a little while. Show our muscle down there at College Park, all right?
That's right.
Sean Merriman joining us here. You can learn more out on his Twitter. He puts all the stuff up on the Twitter. You can find him on Instagram as well. And the Terps are making a big deal about this, too. Bring a coat Thursday night before that Dolphins game and before the Maryland game that at College Park. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Lamar Jackson, Ravens, and Baltimore Positive.